He was there only a few weeks, but he was a little bit discouraged by the shabby look of the church building. So he decided to go into town, and it was quite a journey into town, to buy a supply of white paint, because he wanted to surprise the congregation if he could get this painted before Sunday, and they would come and it would lift their spirits to have this fresh coat of white paint. So he went at it, and there are four sides in the steeple. He started with the front, and he realized when he got done with the front alone, just the front, he had gone through half of his paint supply. He did not want to go to town. It was a long journey. So he scrounged around and found some paint thinner and decided to stretch it out a little. So then he went and he painted the other three sides and thought it looked great. But that night there was a thunderstorm. And the next morning it had washed off that thinned paint. And he was so frustrated because he just so wanted to surprise the congregation. And he looked to the heavens and he said, "What am I supposed to do?" And he heard this voice that said, "Repaint and thin no more." Oh, you're so polite. You know, it can go either way with jokes. Either way. I'm going to sing a song I wrote 43 years ago when I was 17. Do the math. Right after that, we're going to watch a video. There'll be a lot of sunshine and quite a bit of rain. There'll be a lot of happiness and a little bit of pain. There'll be a lot of giving and a lot of getting back. There has to be a lot of faith when the skies are going black. When the skies are going black, that's life, that's life, life. It is easy to be pleasant when life flows like a song. But the man worthwhile is the one who will smile when everything goes wrong. But the test of the heart is trouble, and it always comes through the years. But the smile that is worth the praises of the earth is the smile that shines through tears. Smile that shines through tears. That's life. That's life. Life. Hallelujah, Jesus gives me life. Hallelujah, God gives me life. Hallelujah, Spirit gives me life. Sing that last part with me, will you? Hallelujah, Jesus gives me life. Hallelujah, God gives me life, hallelujah, Spirit. Gives me life, the Spirit, the Spirit. Gives me life, life.
I battled alcohol pretty much my whole life, marijuana, and I was hard into methamphetamines for my second go-around with that.
I got into some situations with the court and everything and got kicked out of my house at 17.
I was going through a deep depression and a big struggle because my father passed away. And it led me to Iowa, to my uncle's house, where I cried every day because Iowa is my father and it reminds me of my dad and I missed him.
I was a drug addict and an alcoholic.
The struggles in my life I was going through was not being able to find a job where I lived, alcohol, and just losing my apartment.
Yeah, and then I got back behind the wheel again and started drinking. And then I lost them again. And then my sister told me that it was time for me to move on.
I lost my job up there, living a life of addiction and trying to make two work. Upon that suicide attempt after the loss of a job.
At Hope Ministries, we believe that God alone holds the power to truly set people free from the bondage of sin, addictions, abuse, and compulsions that destroy the quality of life that God intends for them to live. Since 1915, Hope Ministries has been providing meals, shelter, clothing, and faith-based services to homeless men, women, and children. Through 7 ministry centers that are 100% privately funded, we serve hundreds of meals daily and offer hundreds of beds so that these men and women in need can find hope in one more day. Hope Ministries also provides short-term and long-term life recovery programs to help many of these men and women restore their marriages and lost families. Like our Hope Center, where an abused and homeless single mother can bring her children and find comfort and a future again. Like Door of Faith, where men can enter a year-long program to rebuild their life and discover God's love for them. Here at Hope Ministries, we are called to serve those in need, to relieve their suffering, and to promote the transformation of their condition of life. Will you help us with our mission to proclaim and demonstrate the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ in meeting the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of men, women, and children in our communities who are homeless or in need of hope? They need your help to find hope in one more day.
I'm doing something I never thought I'd ever do. You know, because when I used to smoke a lot of weed, and I used to say, I'm going to smoke weed until I die. That was my attitude, was to smoke weed until I die, but God said he had a different plan, so here I am.
And God, you know, God's the number one thing that's brought back my daughter and my relationship, my family. God's restored all these things in my life because Hope Ministries have provided me a place to be still, be able to study God's word and to listen to Him.
I have never experienced anything like this in my life. And the Holy Spirit is definitely here. And he's busy. He's busy with us all, you know. But they always stop and take time and tell you that they love you. And it's genuine. You know, it's just not because Christ says to love one another, but they generally do love you. And that is awesome. Because of hope, my faith is so strong to where ever since I came here to Hope, there's nothing that me and my kids want for, even up until this day, and I've been gone since December. So Hope has provided me with faith, my faith in God, my faith in people, regardless of the race, religion, it doesn't matter. It's restored my faith in everything.
I just so wanted to say thank you. Your church has just been wonderful support over the years in a variety of ways. And so it's a nice way to, that's a new video that a company did for us. And just wanted to be able to share that with you to say thank you. Because we are 100% privately funded, don't take any government money, and God just provides. And you're one of those. So we thank you so much for that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of my sermon is, You Should Assume. You know, you've heard that phrase, you shouldn't assume, right? Today I'm going to say, you should assume. In 1989-99, my son Marcus was diagnosed at age 14 with cancer. 48 straight weeks of chemo, 14 hospitalizations, 300 home-administered shots, 30 days radiation. In the year 2000, my grandma Carlson, cancer all through her body, passed. And the same year, 4 hospitalizations I had for kidney stones, plus our cat and dog died that year. Now, kidney stones, it's worse than giving birth, I'm telling you. And I know, I've had women tell me, my daughter had one just about 2 weeks ago, and she said, Dad, I've had 2 kids, I'll take another child before I'll pass another kidney stone. So I'm just telling you. In year 2001, the next year, I had a traumatic job transition, 2001, clinical depression. 2002, we were without a home for 8 months. 2003, my niece Emily committed suicide. 2004, one of my favorite uncles, Larry, died of a brain cancer. 2005, my brother Tom, age 38, died of a car accident. 2006, my other brother, massive stroke at age 49. 2007, my wife was diagnosed with Lyme's disease and continues to struggle with that. 2008, my mom died of breast cancer. 2009, my aunt Elaine dropped dead on Sunday morning leading the choir. Bam, right there. 2010, my father-in-law, who really brought me closer to the Lord, Lord used him to bring me closer, died of a 4-year battle of Alzheimer's. In 2014, my son, January 2014, at age 31, had open heart surgery. Had found 3 nodules inside his heart. To the next year, I was diagnosed in January with precancer all over my face and my head. You think I look ugly today? You should have seen me then. The same month, I had a heart attack, January 2015. Followed by open heart surgery. The doctor says you dodged a bullet. I was 100% blocked. In August of this year, my cousin, Tim, committed suicide. Last month, they found two nodules on my lung, in my lung. And we're doing tests about what that's all about. And in the month of September, I have developed chronic pain in my ankles, legs, and knees, and hip. And I stand here right now with chronic pain. I can't believe this. Every year for the last 16 years, something has happened in our life. Do you ever ask the question, God, I can't take it anymore? Have you ever been there? Yeah, I see heads bobbing. Have you ever said, why me? give me a break, will you? And yet I stand before you to testify that every one of those tests has become my testimony. My mess has become my message. And my faith is stronger today than it ever has been. I got all sorts of goosebumps right now. I'm telling you, I consider that the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. Had I not had those tests, I would have not seen God like I have. He has revealed himself so vividly when I'm on my knees crying out in pain. And I thank him for the tests. In a small group on Wednesday nights, they were studying Psalm 24. They were reading a Psalm 24, and as I generally do, I get distracted, and I'm reading ahead in Psalm 26. And there's a lull in the conversation. I said, guys, listen to this. Listen to this. David actually prayed, test me and try me, Lord. I said, how many of you would ever even think of praying that? And one of the gals says, yeah, you know what they say, be careful what you pray for. The next day I had lunch with my pastor, and I shared that with him. The next Sunday, he starts out the service, his sermon. Raise your hand if you trust Jesus. All the hands go up. He says, now I'm going to read you this verse, and I'm going to ask how many of you would commit to praying this every day for the next 30 days. And here it is. Test me and try me, Lord. Not one hand went up. And he said, wait a minute. Where's the disconnect? And so then he asked another question. He says, how many of you have been tested? Lots of hands go up. How many of you got through that tunnel of darkness? Hands went up. How many of you would say that you saw God in a way you've never seen him before while you were in that valley? The hands went up. How many of you would say that your faith is stronger because you were tested? And the hands went up. So how many of you trust Jesus? All the hands go up. And how many of you would commit to pray the prayer that David prayed? Test me and try me, Lord, for the next 30 days. And no hands went up. What do we fear? How many times do they say, do not fear, is in the Bible? One for every day. Do not fear. I am just saying that I thank God for the tests. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's not like I get up in the morning and go, "All right, Lord, I am so good at this. Bring it on, buddy. Bring it on." No. But here's the deal. I can honestly say to you, I don't fear the next one. I don't know what's going on with me. This pain is, it started in my feet, it's gone up, it's in my hips now, and it hurts, it burns. I don't know what's going on with these spots they found on my lung. But I can honestly tell you, I don't fear it anymore. You know why? Because I've had the blessings of the tests. I've had blessings. When you can get to a point in life where you can thank God for the blessings. Amen, sister?
Amen.
Uh-huh. We don't know each other, but I was told about you earlier. All good. When we can get to a point in life where we say, "Thank you, Jesus, because I know that I get to get closer to you." Isn't that the goal? Isn't it? Don't you want to get as close as you possibly can on this earth to Jesus? Well, that happens most of the time through our tests. Our tests. I may be in this fire, but I know who controls the thermostat. Yeah. I was listening to you on the way up here on 99.3, and you were talking about people worshiping and responding. Was that recently? Doesn't matter. I'm going to say it again. I may be in this fire, but I know who controls the thermostat. Amen. I am not a whiner. I'm a warrior. Don't just go through it. Grow through it. If life brings you to it, I promise you, God will get you through it. God can take your mess and turn it into your message. Your pain may be for a greater purpose. I am not a victim. I am a victor. I don't have to understand to trust him. When asked to recall a time of tremendous spiritual growth, hardly anybody would describe a time when everything was good and life was easy. Mountaintops are for views and inspiration, but fruit is grown in the valley. When the train goes through a tunnel and the world gets dark, do you jump out? Of course not. You sit still and trust the engineer to get you through. I gave a similar sermon in Linville not too long ago, and a guy came up to me. I'd say he was in his 90s, and he said, "You know, I've never had any of that stuff that you're talking about there, all that stuff, the challenge." I said, "Wait a minute, really? You've never had a time where life has brought you to your knees?" "Nope, I'm one of those that pick up your bootstraps and move on." "You've never had a tragedy? You've never had a death? You've never had an illness? You never lost your job? You never had a broken nope, never had any of that stuff. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And he said, what? My prayer for you, sir. I think he thought I cursed him. Is that before you leave this earth, that you have the blessing of a life challenge that drops you to your knees, forces you to look up, and you see God like you've never seen him before. That's my prayer for you. This is what he did. He walked out of church. I get the great pleasure of working with people who are hurting. I was doing chapel one night at our Bethel Mission facility, 90-some homeless men, every emotion you could think of. Frustration, pain, anger, guilt, shame. I mean, you just, whatever. It's right there. Some of them know of God. Some of them know God. Some of them have, believe it or not, have never heard the gospel. Right here in the mission field in our backyard. And one night, I started out with chapel saying, hello, my name is David, I work for Hope Ministries, and I don't care if you believe in God. You know, if I didn't have their attention before that, I did now. So I let that hang in the air a little bit, and then I said, now, I'm going to start again now that I got your attention. I'm going to finish that sentence. I don't care if you believe in God as much as I care that you know how much he believes in you. Because they don't think anybody believes in them. When you understand that, that's what brings you to your knees. I said, now I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to think about it. You don't have to answer it. You just think about it. I'll put on a little music because you got to really take this in. If you could have, just pick one thing. Just one. If you could have one thing and have it every single day of for the rest of your life, what would it be? I put on the music. Shut off the music. Guy way over on the left over here. Raise his hand. Front row. I don't think I've met you. What is your name? Kevin. When did you come to Hope Ministries? Today. Well, this is your first chapel. That's right. Where'd you come from? Chicago. How did you end up coming here? Someone said I needed to go to Des Moines and go to Hope Ministries. I'm here. I'm telling you, we have people divinely appointed from literally all over the country that come to Hope Ministries. And we have a guy, Alex, who's from Russia. Staying there. Why did you raise your hand? I was going to tell you the answer to the question. Well, you don't need to. I just wanted you to think about it. No, I'll tell you. Well, that's pretty brave for a guy in the first chapel, but okay, Kevin, if you could pick just one thing and have it every day for the rest of your life, what would it be? And he went just like this. Peace, bro. Peace. I knew that. He said, how did you know that? I said, because watch this. Now, the rest of you out there, if you're so brave as to raise your hand, how many of you, rest of you fellas, had the exact same answer or something very similar? 3/4 of the hands went up. I said, now for the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, we know. I know If the truth be known, you want peace too. Everybody wants peace. If you could have that every single day for the rest of your... So the question is, how do you get it? And? How do you keep it? It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. You throw it out there. In fact, say that again, will you?
Give it.
Amen. Yes, that's a good answer. I feel like that guy on the Family Feud thing. Good answer. Good answer. How do you get it? How do you sustain it? And so we talked about that through chapel. I was the rest of the chapel. And a guy comes up to me, because I always tell the fellows, as well as the women and children when we're doing chapel there. But in this case, I always tell them at Bethel Mission, and I'm not in a hurry to go home, so if you want to come up and talk afterwards, that's fine. I'll be glad to sit and chat with you. So this guy comes up, and he kind of waited till everyone was gone. He came up to me, and I said, what's your name again? He goes, Dwayne. How can I help you, Dwayne? I was wondering if you could teach me how to pray. Whoa. I mean, put yourself in my shoes. What would you do? I may not see this guy tomorrow. He may be gone. I have this opportunity. Where did that question? Tell me more, Dwayne. He goes, well, you know, I've been here for a week or so, and somebody was talking about obedience, and I'm learning about obedience. And I'm confused about this scripture. I said, what scripture? And he had his finger in the Bible, and he flips it open. He goes, right here in 1 Thessalonians. I said, don't worry about it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17-18, all right? He says right here, be joyful always. Really? He says, I don't know if I can do that. That's going to be hard. I said, what else does it say? Pray continuously. Really? Don't people run out of words? What else does it say? In all things give thanks. Really? All things? Man, if you knew about my life, I don't give thanks in all things. And I said, what's the next part? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Ooh. All right, you asked a good question, Dwayne. Let's deal with that question, and I'm going to make you a promise. If we deal with that question, prayer, the other two will take care of themselves. So I'm going to teach you a prayer. Oh, forget it. What? I'm not good at memorizing. I said, you'll be fine. But before I teach you this prayer, I want to make you a promise. If you say this prayer 25 to 50 times a day, what? And he started walking out. I said, Dwayne, I had to go for him and grab him. I said, Dwayne, what's up? You want me to say a prayer 25 to 50 times a day? I said, can you just let me finish? I said I was going to make you a promise. Don't you at least want to know that? If you say this prayer 25 to 50 times a day, I promise it'll change your life forever.
All right, go ahead.
I said, what are you doing?
Concentrating.
All right, here's the prayer. I surrender to you, Lord. Amen. That's a prayer. I said it's probably one of the most powerful prayers you could ever pray. Now, Dwayne, if you were to say that prayer, even once, every day, but if you said it 25 to 50 times a day, do you think it would change your life?
Probably.
And why do you say that? Well, I don't know. I'd be thinking about him all the time. And doesn't the word say, you abide in me, I abide in you? Kind of, yeah. Freeze frame, 9 months later, he graduates from our recovery program. It's on the night of his graduation. Everybody's leaving. I'm heading up the stairs. He grabs me and he goes, Mr. Burrier, do you remember November 27th, Well, you know, that was the night that you taught me a hemi split-second prayer. Now, you know what a hemi is, right? It's an 8-cylinder engine. It's corny, but people remember. It gives a hemi what? Gives you more power, gives you more torque, right? So people remember, hemi. Everybody here ought to have a sheet of hemi prayers. Pick one. Go all day long. I promise it'll change your life. Pick one every day. Every day, when I wake up in the morning, before I open up my eyes, when I realize I'm alive, before I open up my eyes, I say this: I love you, Lord. Amen. And then I open my eyes. How many have said that phrase? When was the last time you said, I love you, Lord? I mean, just try it. Go ahead. Now just shut your eyes. Now say it. What a great way to start a day. You go all day long with that one? Just pick one. Just pick one. You've got them now. I loaded them all in my phone. You know, so every morning I can just say, okay, I think I'll go with number 15 today. Now I have somebody who says, you know that one, test me and try me? I don't pray that. I skip over. I said, I have prayed that every day since I read that. Every day I say that prayer. She goes, yeah, and look what's happened to you. I said, yeah, look what's happened. There is no greater joy than the joy I have, having gone through tests and grown closer to God. So I've been developing these hemi prayers. And I have been putting them on little business-sized cards, but now people have to almost... So I got to figure out something else, so I thought I'd just... But I wanted to make sure that you had hemi prayers, and I promise it'll change your life. You want to pray continuously? You know what my favorite one is? Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I know you're going to think I'm embellishing, but I'm not. I probably say that 300 to 400 times a day. It's so wonderful to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It focuses me on the good stuff that's happening. Thank you, Jesus. Through the hardest times, God can use those. Can use us to bless others. A young Irishman, Joseph Scriven, 1820 to 1886, was deeply in love with a young woman, and their marriage plans had been made. The night before their wedding, however, she drowned in a tragic accident. For months, he was bitter in utter despair. At last, he turned to Christ, and through his grace, found peace and comfort. And out of that experience, he wrote the familiar hymn that has brought consolation to millions of aching hearts. What is that hymn? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Sometimes our way lies in the sunlight. It was so for Joseph as he approached his wedding day. But like him, we may find that our path also leads through dark shadows of loss, disappointment, and sorrow. Yet even sorrows turn to blessings when they make us less attached to the earth and more attached to God. Then more than ever, we discover that Jesus truly is our friend, all our sins and griefs to bear. When I was 17, I had a pastor. To him, it might have been just a flippant remark. It has stuck with me. It set the course for my life. We were at Strawberry Point at Camp Ewalu on a weekend retreat with our church. It was like 10:30 at night, sitting in front of this fireplace, and it was just Pastor Trotke and myself. And he says, well, David, so what do you think you're going to do with your life? I said, I don't know, Bob. Probably help people. And he says, well, if that's the case, I want you to remember this. If you assume that every person you meet is hurting in some way, you will be right 99% of the time. And that's what I found out. And it set a course for me because I believe that every person I have contact with, every eye contact, every red light looking over, I have an opportunity to pray for them. Every person that I have contact, the person who checks me out at the, well, nobody checks me out anymore, but anyway. Well, my wife does. I mean, 40 years. Be thankful for that. But anyway, so that I consider that a divine appointment. And I assume, remember? You should assume. I assume that they're hurting in some way. And so I've been asking people for the last 4 years I started this deal. Could be somebody who's at the checkout counter. Could be somebody, for instance, I was going through Walgreens on East University, and I approached this gal at the checkout counter. She, no eye contact. Beep, 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 beep. None of this. Thank you for shopping at Walmart. Did you find everything that you needed? We're so pleased that you're here today. None of that. Beep, beep, beep. So I lean over and I go, Sharonda? How'd you know my name? You got a name tag on. She goes, what? You need something? Can I help you? Do you need me to get somebody? Is there something that you, are you lost? And she goes, bam, 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 bam. I said, I just want to ask you a question. Sure, any question. I said, are you okay? She goes, why are you asking me that? I said, you look sad to me. I am sad. I mean, people all over going, what's that dirty man doing to that young little girl over there? I mean to tell you, she's just dramatically, I'm sad, I'm so sad. And I said, why are you sad, honey? I lost all my money yesterday and I don't know what I'm going to do. How would have I known? I could have just passed by her, right? I said, well, I am going to pray for you. I'm going up to Ankeny. It's going to take me 20 minutes. And I'm going to pray for you by name. What one thing would you like me to pray for? You're going to pray for me? Yes. Why? Because I get to. I don't shut my eyes while I'm driving. I mean, I'm. So what one thing would you like me to pray for? Could you pray for my friend, Ardell? I said, you just revealed your heart to me. You deflected that prayer to someone else. What's going on with Ardell? He's going to prison tomorrow and he's freaked out! I thought, hold it down, honey. Okay, hold it down. So I said, all right, I'm going to pray for his peace of mind and I'm going to pray for your peace of mind. Oh, I need peace of mind. See, everybody, right? I have had, you wouldn't believe, how many conversations. Robert, are you here? He's in the nursery. Robert and I met each other at the urinal this morning. That's a natural thing. Good morning. Morning. How are you? Almost done. I mean, what do you talk about, right? But you can turn that into a divine appointment, I'm telling you. And I said, Robert, how are you doing? Yeah, well, you know, and I could tell right away. I said, Robert, I'm going to be driving back to Des Moines today. I'm going to pray for you. What one thing can I pray for? How would have I known if I didn't ask? He's got 5 foster kids. And his wife, Brianna. Who does that? And then he proceeded to tell me some of the challenges that they're having. I found out you have cancer of the liver. He had a heart attack. Bro, we're in the same deal here. You can't believe what they do to you. You know, it's crazy. Cancer. If you assume that every person you meet is hurting in some way, you'll be right 99% of the time. I'm going to play that CD. So that means that there's many people in this room who are hurting in some way. Do you know who it is? Is your radar up? I am going to challenge you today, this morning. Find somebody that you don't know all that well and say, we don't know each other, but I am going to pray for you as I drive home after church today. What's your name again? That's okay. Sherry. Okay, Sherry. What one thing would you like me to pray for? You will find out stuff. And you will bless them. Because they will be driving home, and guess what they're going to be thinking about? Prayer is powerful. Prayer lifts you up. This song that I'm going to end here with today was a song I wrote after our son had cancer. And I'll just let it speak for itself. Me back because it's 11:30. Have you ever had times when no strength you could find, and the pressures of life weighed you down? I have felt that same way, and all I can say, there is hope if you'll only hang on. Have you ever felt fear or lost someone dear? Are you lonely and full of despair? Many know how you feel. For them, it's been real. I can say I know I've been there. But there's one who knows best than all of the rest. A world full of pain he can see. Through all that you are facing, may you feel his arms embracing. He forgives and sets free. No matter where you've been, if your life's full of sin, if you feel there's no reason to be, turn to God, say a prayer. I promise he'll be there. This I know, 'cause he's been there for me. This I know, I know, I know, because he's been there.